And that's what we're all about, is teaching the Word of God rightly divided. So this morning, Brother Scott Burns is going to take the first class. Come on up, brother.
Good morning, all. Good morning, all. Good morning. Probably best like that. How's everybody doing?
Fine, thank you.
Fine.
We're blessed.
Blessed?
There
you go. Okay, it's over. I'm going back to my seat. We're blessed. Well, last week I got started with what kind of bodies we were going to have in heaven. And also covered what kind of bodies we were going to have before the rapture, if we happen to die before then. And as per usual, didn't get everything done. But we did have some great conversation during that time. So we're going to kind of pick up back in that area. You sure this isn't too loud for everybody? Is everybody okay with that?
Good.
Okay, this is new. This thing over here, so it's like having a new friend over.
That's why people can hear you out there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get started. We're going to start with our original verses in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. These are very familiar for us. And yes, hon, I'll get to it in a minute. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, that being our permanent home, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, and they are vile. Isn't that right, Byron?
Absolutely.
That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. A quick prayer here. God, we love you, we thank you, and we just appreciate the opportunity to sit in here and teach and listen and absorb your word, rightly divided, dispensationally put in the right place so that it makes sense, and really it's what's applicable for us today under the dispensation of the grace of God. I just ask that the words that come out of my mouth would be accurate, and that we'd help others to maybe come around to believing in the gospel, and those that do believe to help them to edify and help them increase in their knowledge. It's in the blessed name of you, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, you were buried and resurrected on the third day to justify me and make me just as righteous as you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Interestingly enough, I don't know if any of you watch a little bit of TV before you come down here. Any of the other folks? Any of you poison? No? Well, David Jeremiah was on this morning, and I only flipped it that way because the other music we normally listen to was getting pretty bad. But it was interesting. What he was teaching was paralleling exactly what I was teaching, and most everything he taught was right. With the exception, he didn't get the gospel right, but, I mean, what do you expect? But the rest of it was pretty good. I was not going to say that until the appropriate time. But I'm going to have you turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. And there's a lot of 1 Corinthians 15. Of course, our gospel that saves us today is sitting in verses 1 through 4. But there's far more in there about death and resurrection and what kind of bodies we're going to have. It's packed full of, what was that candy bar used to be called? Packed full of nuts? I don't know what I thought of. Chock full of nuts, thank you. Well, we got people with good memories. Now, we're going to start at verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Some of these may sound familiar from a few weeks ago. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? What kind of body are we going to have? I thought that was a pretty good way to start this evening. Or a segue for that. And we're going to jump into Well, what's the best way to know what kind of body you're going to have? Well, let's look at what Jesus had, maybe the 40 days before he finally ascended up there. Because he did some things down here after he was resurrected. He didn't just, you know, die and then he was resurrected and went up and now he's hanging out with the Father. Now, there was 40 days that he spent primarily with his disciples and the women there. And we get a little insight of what kind of body we're going to have there. So we're going to go back to the Gospels. Let's go to Mark. So we're going to be popping back and forth between the four. Let's go over to Mark 16, the last verse. Yeah, this will make it easy. It'll be the last chapter of three of the books and the last two chapters of John. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Carl. I'm glad somebody's listening. Mark 16:9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So she was the first, not only to see him, but recognize him. As we go on further, the key is that she recognized him. You know, once it was revealed, she recognized. So he looked like he used to look before he was hung up on that cross. Kind of an idea. So what he looked like is what he came back as. Of course, he has some insignia, you know, on his hands and his feet and in his side, right? Joe, I know you're just itchy. You got a question, don't you? John 20, verse 14. It's kind of going to parallel that Mark 16 that we were just reading. John 20, verse 14. This is also about Mary Magdalene right here. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So apparently he has the ability to cloak himself or keep somebody from recognizing him. Let's jump to 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith to her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. So he had to go up there for a short period of time. Go show the Father that he had taken care of all the items. Yes, dear? Oh. That he had taken care of all the things according to his will, and then he came back to spend another 40 days. So, from that, we can see Jesus had the ability to be recognized. He had the ability to cloak himself or keep himself from being recognized, and that he looked just like he looked when he was during his earthly ministry. Now think about that in reference to you when you're up there, what you're going to look like. That's kind of the gist of this. Is if you're going to look for a place to kind of have an idea of what you're going to look like, why not look at the 40 days that he spent down there if he was resurrected?
Especially if you consider how he died, what he looked like when he actually died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he didn't have any skin left.
Unrecognizable.
Bones sticking out. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. But he did it for us. Thank God for that. All right, let's go over to Matthew 28. We're going to start verse 9. And he's going to be showing himself to some other women besides Mary Magdalene. Everybody there? And as they went to tell his disciples, you know, they're on the way. Mary Magdalene was on the way with the other women. Jesus met them saying, All hail, or well wish of all health is kind of how the 1828 dictionary says it. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Again, they recognized him. Not the one that was up on the cross and all beaten, but they recognized him from their earthly ministry. Verse 11. This is kind of a bonus thing. I stuck this in here because this is always interesting to me. It's kind of off the trail here. He says, Now when they were going, this is referring to the guards were watching over the tomb. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. They told those priests what had happened. They told them that he came out of the tomb. They knew. They knew. Those guys told him. Verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders, that's those chief priests, and had taken counsel, they gave large sums of money unto these soldiers that had watched over the tomb, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night, stole him away while he slept, or while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, that would be Pontius Pilate, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Isn't that something? It's no wonder that Israel doesn't see him as the Messiah. Of course, we know that's what prophecy eventually had said, and eventually things were going to open up to the mystery, but the point was, you could see all this stuff in play. That was a bonus, because it blows me away that they saw that. They told the priest, the lead priest, they went and consulted with the elders. They knew. They knew exactly what happened. They paid him off. It was a crime. Isn't that something? All right, let's pop over. Oh, again, he shows the ability to appear or show himself as he wants to show himself. All right, Mark 16. Again, we're going to work our way through some of these until we run out of time. Just kind of think about what yourself is going to look like when you get up into heaven. Mark 16, verses 12 and 13. That's the road to Emmaus. He says, after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. All right, over to Luke 24, verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. This is going to be another gospel covering from a different angle the same thing. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them, as we know there were two of them that were on the road to Emmaus, kind of a long walk, about 7 or 7.5 miles, I guess, to Emmaus, it says. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70, that being 60 furlongs, or like I said, about 7 or 7.5 miles. Down to 15. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went in with them, or went with them. As we know from Mark, we just read, he's appearing in another form while he's walking with them. 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? 18, and the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, I think this is the only one we actually know his name, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he goes on to explain to him what happened with Jesus. They believed he was the Messiah, and he went to the cross, and he died. And let's pop down to 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. I bet they were thinking, man, if we only would have stuck around a few more hours, we might have actually seen this. But they're also getting a front seat with this guy that they don't know who he is. Verse 25. And he, being Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. You think these guys were sitting there going, who's this guy? He's sitting here, he's walking with, he doesn't know anything, and all of a sudden, now he's hammering us. I thought this was a nice guy. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat, eating with them. Oh, so we're going to be eating there too. That's a pretty good deal. If our guy was here, he'd say pizza, of course. Yeah. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open. Now they knew who he was. Obviously, they recognized him, so he looked like he looked in his earthly ministry. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us? Why he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Again, he's able to appear. He's able to disappear. He's able to show himself as somebody else. He's able to teach them. He's able to rebuke them and open up their understanding. What's that?
And eat with them.
And eat with them, exactly. Go ahead, Carl.
But this here, what we just read, he was in that another form.
For a while. And then he opened up and turned himself back into his normal self. Isn't that interesting? Kind of like, I want to see what these guys have to say about me, with me not being there, see what they have to say, see what they learned, see what they picked up. Yeah, exactly. And then he opens up. He teaches them those things and shows himself. And as eating is a very intimate thing in the ancient days, and even today when you sit around and have a meal with folks, you normally get to have some pretty good conversation, you know, after you turn your TV off and your cell phones. And just, I guess you had to be there. You've been in a restaurant, you look around, there'll be four people over there eating there, all four of them have their cell phones out. Interesting. All right, let's go over to Mark 16. I'm going to skip this. You don't have to go here, but in 1 Corinthians 15:5, it also says that he was seen of Cephas. But we're going over to Mark 16. Let's go to verse 14. Everybody ready? Afterward, he, that being Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Again, they're eating. Now, at this time, you know, I believe Judas is dead this time. I'm going to go with Judas is dead this time, right? All right. As they sat at meat and unbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He's rebuking those guys. Ouch. This is after the women had run down there and said, hey, the tomb's empty. Mary Magdalene saw him. We saw him. And they're just sitting there in unbelief. Let's pop over to Luke 24. We're going to go to verse 36. Of course, if I put myself in that position, I would have understood everything, right?
Yeah.
Not. I mean, they saw some big things. I could see why they were sitting back there. Of course, we find out over in Luke 24, where it talks about he finally opened up their understanding. So they didn't really have all the understanding. They had a lot, but they didn't have everything. So Luke 24:36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So I like to say, solid objects don't slow this guy down. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now we know this, at this point, he's a flesh and bone, right? Everybody's saying all that? 38, and he said to them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Now one thing that Jesus is going to retain that we won't retain, I like to call it his insignia. The holes in his hands, his feet, and in his side. He retains that. And we'll see more of that when Thomas comes along and, you know, hey, put your finger in there. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believe not for joy. They believe? Really? At this point, they still didn't believe for joy? And wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? Bring out the food. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Let's pop over to John 20. Start at verse 19. Everybody good so far? These are probably familiar verses from when we were in different churches. Right? Okay. Can I get amen, Sylvie? The program we were watching, it said that about 10 times. It's like, why? Verse 19. Then that same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. This is another event from a different angle. I'm sorry, I should have said that. Were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, or so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Wow. They finally recognized him. Yeah. Down to verse 24. That is true. Jews require signs. Absolutely. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. Not just his finger. Really? That could have been a big spear. My hand to his side, I will not believe. So at that point, we call this guy, everybody? Exactly. But for a good reason, right? So he had the ability to make his way through solid objects. That didn't hinder him. He was able to teach, again, to rebuke, to eat, all these things. These are things that you're going to be able to do when you get a body, because Philippians 3, 20-21 says so. Let's go over to, let's continue in John. We're going to go down to verse 26. We're going to find out. Thomas is actually going to show up on the scene. Verse 26. And after 8 days again, a little over a week, his disciples were within. I assume it was the same place that they were in before. And Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, again, right through the doors, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Can I get you one? And Thomas answered and saith unto him, my Lord and my God. I'm going to do 29. I wasn't going to, but let's do it. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I'd call that cross-dispensational right there, right? Yeah. Anybody seen Jesus? Never. But you believe in him, right? Yeah. Believe in your Lord, Savior, Redeemer. 1 Corinthians 15:5. You don't have to jump over. I'm just going to read it real quick. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So we know he's of a bone and flesh. We know he has the ability to eat. Again, he's teaching. He's rebuking. Even Thomas now gets it. I believe, that's what I learned out here. He said, he and I believe only he retains the insignia in his hands and side, and it doesn't say here, but it's also the feet in a different one. Go ahead, Byron.
You know, he's got the ability, as you said, to eat, but he doesn't have to eat.
That's right.
He is spiritual food for us.
Right.
But, yeah. I do want to make a comment. This is not criticism. It's just another side of
that word holding, I like your explanation, but the word holding also means restrain. In other words, those people, Jesus, I don't think changed. You think he did. That's fine. I just believe that's what they saw.
Yeah.
They were withheld from their view. I think he was still in the same body, but they just only saw what he wanted them to see. In other words, God restrained their eyes, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, one verse it says that, and the other one it says he showed in a different form. So I get it. He has abilities, and we're going to have those same kind of abilities.
And one thing, see, you're absolutely 100% correct by the scriptures on this. But see, he had those scars in his feet, in his legs, and the piercing in his side. But I believe that's for the signs for the Jews. I believe, and this is not scriptural, but I believe when he ascended up there and sat on the right hand side of the Father, he was made perfect bodily also. Just a thought.
That one we're going to have to check out once we get there. Because I don't think the scripture, other than what it says here.
It doesn't matter either way. I'm just telling you.
I have to go with what he looked like when he was down there, but that very well could be. It very well could be. But I look forward to it.
And all that matters is that he's going to right hand of the Father.
Absolutely.
That's what matters.
And he's going to come down, meet us in the air, and everything's going to be taken care of. New body, indestructible. Can anybody blend that body, Tony? That's right. Let's go over to John 21. This is actually 1 through 25. I'm just going to bounce over a few of the verses here. John 21, 1 and 25. Now, John covers two chapters of this time that he spent down there, where the other ones, they're basically just in the final chapter of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm going to jump to 1. Let's do 1. I want to do that. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is another name for it's Galilee. So they call it Tiberias as well. And on this wise showed him he. So he showed himself bodily to those that were there. Now there were 7 of them there at the time. It's not really important to hit all the names. But one of the things that Mary Magdalene and the gals went back to tell him was that Jesus is going to meet you up in Galilee. So they're up in Galilee waiting for Jesus. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Again, he somehow made himself unrecognizable or blocked their eyes, as Byron was talking about. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat, food? And they answered him, No. Oh, yeah, he's out to get some more food. I like that. Let's go to the restaurant. Not a lot of restaurants there. But. 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, six. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. That's one full net right there. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, anybody know who that was?
John.
John. Well, he's also writing this. But nobody else loved him. Saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt, I'm getting something here that I never had read before. Now maybe some of you got it. I kind of had told Byron a little bit about this. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat onto him, parentheses, for he was naked. Now who goes out fishing in the nude? I don't get that. Well, fishing hooks and line and they had nets, okay, but I'd never seen that before. I said, wow, that's crazy. Well, I guess it was a thing they did back then. And did cast himself in the sea. So he's got his fisherman's coat and he's heading off there to go out to the Lord. Verse 9. And soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay therein, and bread. Now, hold on a second. He didn't bring the fish in. So he can make fish appear, and he's a chef. He's cooking dinner. I guess we're going to be chefs too. Verse 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst or dare ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. I don't get that. Would you say, "Hey, Lord, what's going on?" Anyways, Jesus then cometh and take bread and give to them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself. And he's going to give Peter a little opening to how he's going to end up dying here. Not the whole thing. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Well, that's a tongue twister. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So Peter was going to die a death kind of similar to Jesus. Now we can hear, once you go extra biblical, that he was hung upside down on the cross, maybe Rome. We're not sure, but Jesus gave a little forethought of how it's going to go into it. And then he goes into, well, how about John? When's he going to die? Why does he get to live a long life? You know, Peter's always being Peter. You got to dig him. Verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Could you imagine that? So we only got just a little taste of what's in this book. We got everything we need, but we don't have everything we want in here. But it's got everything you need in here. You just kind of know how to rightly divide it. So, again, he was a chef. They were eating. He can show themselves to them. He could disguise himself. He converses with them. He shows himself. He told Peter about his future death. And it says we're going to have a body like unto his.
Glorious body.
Glorious, exactly. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's take a look at Matthew 17, 1 through 5. Matthew 17, 1 through 5. 10 digits. Anybody there? And this is why he was on his earthly ministry. This is before his death. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. I kind of think that's what he's going to look like when he's in heaven. What do you think? Are we going to have a body like unto his? It's a thought. Are we going to glow as much as he did? That's something to think about. Just pressing a few more verses. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now here's Moses and Elijah. They've been dead for how long? And they're just having a conversation with Jesus down there. Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Anyway, that was kind of off the beat track. That was for free. But are we going to have a body like unto his? Something to think about. Let's move over to 1 Corinthians 15 and 6. And we're doing pretty good for time. I might actually get this done. The idea was to just keep covering verses during those final 40 days until Trish said time was over. 1 Corinthians 15 and 6. This is Paul. He's going down kind of the order that folks appeared, that Jesus appeared to. And he gets to 6, and he says, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep.
Where'd you go?
Oh, I was in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. Sorry, did I say something different?
No, I was looking at something else.
You got to keep me honest. I'm not going to say anything up here. I'm untethered. And I'm going to skip that one. Let's read 7 while we're there. And after that, he was seen of James, then all the apostles. Let's go to Acts 1, please. Acts 1. Not too far away to the left. And start in verse 2, I think. 2. Everybody ready? Until the day in which he was taken up, that being Jesus Christ, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So we know this is definitely 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he has the ability to float up. Probably when he went out of sight, it was off to the third heaven. There he goes. So he was able to talk to him. Again, he rebuked him a little bit, and he had the ability to float. 1 Corinthians 15:8. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read that verse, and we're about to Acts 26. And last of all, he was seen by who? Everybody in this room?
Paul.
Of me also, as one born out of due time. Acts 26, 13. Everybody there? At midday, he's talking to King Agrippa here. They're having a discussion. He's relating his testimony. You know, it's interesting. The person that shares his testimony the most in this book is Paul. You know, we always talk... Byron, I should say, give Byron the credit. He always talks about testimony is important. Paul talks about his testimony probably 5 times at least that I know. 3 times in Acts, once in Galatians. I'm trying to remember where the other one was at. There's another one. I'll think of it in a moment. Or 20 miles down the road. That's how it goes. Acts 26 and 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Well, this is Saul. He's almost at Damascus. He's getting ready to go take those folks of the way, those little flockers, and take them back to Jerusalem, lock them up, and persecute them. I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Jesus is brighter than the sun, the S-U-N? Well, I hope you haven't done this, but if you looked into the sun with your eyeballs, you'd actually be able to see Jesus because he's brighter. You'd be blind after this event. Of course, he was blind after this event, so I wouldn't recommend it. Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. I get it. This is after the 40 days, but this is just showing one more thing that Saul got to see, who became our apostle Paul. So, there's a lot of things he was able to do. He was able to disguise himself. He was able to cause people not to recognize him. He was able for people to recognize him. He was able to talk with others and have a conversation. He was able to eat with others. He was able to teach. He was able to rebuke. There's not much he wasn't able to do in here. Imagine, you're going to have a body, a perfect body, that has no flaws. A body that's never going to pass away. A body that doesn't have blood. The spirit will be the blood. But you're going to be able to do all these things. He says, let's go back to that verse again. The Philippians 3:20-21. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. For those of us that believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was resurrected on the third day, guess where our citizenship's at? It's in heaven. We're just down here temporarily. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Imagine him on that Mount of Transfiguration, glowing, chatting with Moses and Elijah. Isn't that a glorified body? Temporarily was in a glorified body, right? And now he's in his glorified body, and all of us are going to have a glorified body that's like unto his body. That's pretty good news, right?
Yeah.
Everybody seems pretty excited. On that note, any questions? Everybody good?
We're good.
All right. I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you.